Beer, Deer, and Cheese, a Wisconsin sports podcast. Hosted by Sam Davel.
Hey, everybody, this is Beer, Deer, and Cheese, and I'm your host, Sam Davel. Real quick, don't forget to check out Wisconsin Sports Heroics. That's where the podcast will be posted. That's where you can find all of your best Packers, Brewers, Badgers, Bucks-related news. A bunch of great articles up there. And so let's hop into the podcast. Today, we're going to be talking a lot about the Packers and the 49ers. It's an interesting matchup. It's going to be a really good game, I think. It's a fun playoff game. There's a lot of history there. I'm excited for it. I really am. Before we start, I do want to apologize for my voice a little bit. I have a little bit of a cold right now. So if I sound a little bit off, that's pretty much what's going on. So let's jump into it. The Green Bay Packers open up their 2021-2022 playoffs with a really fun matchup against the 49ers, who just came off of a huge win against the Dallas Cowboys. Before we really get into kind of breaking down this matchup, I just want to say I understand the thinking that this is a bad matchup for the Packers. Right, remembering 2019, remembering early playoff runs with Rodgers when Kaepernick was still the quarterback. But keep in mind, this is a very different Packers team. This is a very different 49ers team. These teams are extremely different. Rosters are a revolving door, and it's a different matchup. It really is. The Packers in 2019 completely overachieved. Not many people thought that they should be there at 13-3. And that kind of came out in the NFC Championship game. This season, nearly everybody expected the Packers to be there. They haven't overachieved. They haven't played above their means. They probably have a little bit based on injuries, but realistically, based on this roster, they haven't overachieved. They haven't, you know, gotten lucky, per se. So this is going to be a very different game. Matt LaFleur is a better coach today than he was in 2019. The Packers have an all-pro middle linebacker. Today, Kenny Clark is a much better version of himself. It's a very, very different team. For this being the playoffs, I want to do my usual breakdown of the 49ers offense and defense, and then the usual skill position. But I also wanted to take a look at the battle of the stats, you know, offensive stats, defensive stats, who has the better statistical offense, statistical defense, those stats, and put them in here to determine who wins this game and give us a little bit more insight going forward. So let's start off with the 49ers offense. Everything the 49ers do starts with the ball, starts with the run, starts with the ball, obviously, starts with the run. And that doesn't mean that they run the ball 40 or 50 times a game and don't pass. It can on the occasion, but the run starts the offense. And what I mean is that this offense is built around the threat of a run at any given moment. And you might think that that sounds stupid, like the threat of a run. Oh my God, a 5-yard run. I'm so scared. But consistently getting 5, 6, 7 yards and runs, it wears defenses down. It puts points on the board. It takes time off of the clock. And that is what's nerve-wracking for defenses when they play this 49ers. Not the singular run. It's the fact that they could run every single play and get 4 to 5 yards. And then from there, the pass is built off of play action and usually on short down and distance set up by runs. So on first down, if they run the ball, pick up 6, you're looking at a 2nd and 4. You can do anything on 2nd and 4. You can pretty much do anything on 3rd and 4. It makes the offense easy. The 49ers run the ball the 4th most in the league at 48%. And they're good at it. Like I said, this offense starts with the run and everything is built around it from there. They average 4.3 yards per carry, good for 15th in the league. That's not insane. That's really not. Like, this isn't a 49ers team that averages 7 yards a carry and they just dominate people up front. But they do average 130 yards per game, good for 7th in the league. And they're pretty good at running in any direction behind any offensive lineman, right? They average their highest yards per carry in between the left guard and the left tackle. That makes sense considering Trent Williams is out there. He's their all-pro left tackle. They average about 7.1 yards per carry in that gap. And on the right side of the line, just about in any of those even gaps, they average about 4.6 yards running right. So they can really stress a defensive front, because they literally can run for 4 to 5 yards on nearly every single play. The 49 and in any direction, so you don't exactly know where it's coming from. Some teams have this thing where they, you know, only run right because they know that they'll get 4 to 5 yards, and if they run left, it's going to be a 2-yard gain. The 49ers don't have that. They really don't. The 49ers do a really good job of making defenses be extremely disciplined in gap awareness. And what that makes it and what that does to a defense is it kind of holds them back. They can't just pin their ears back and start blitzing. You know what I mean? They have to be aware of their gaps. They cannot get out of gap assignment because you're going to pay for it, right? The 49ers have used Kyle Juszczyk. They've used Deebo Samuel, their running backs. They've even used Brandon Ayuk to run the ball this season with end arounds and even putting Deebo in the backfield. He's their best player, Deebo Samuel, and they want to get him easily 15 touches a game. However that happens, they want to make it happen. If Deebo is moving and having a good game, then the 49ers are moving and putting points on the board. That's as simple as you can make it. And that's not to say that the Packers have to stop Deebo. Like, you have to shut him down. No, you don't really have to shut him down, but you have to contain the amount of damage that he does. If Deebo has 10 catches for 100 yards, 7 carries for 30 yards, and no touchdowns, then you're in a pretty good spot. You've limited the damage that Deebo can do. You don't have to shut him down, but you have to limit. You have to limit him. Outside of running the ball, which the 49ers do an extremely good job of, the 49ers throw the ball third least in the league, right? They haven't asked Jimmy G to do an awful lot, and he definitely hasn't been the second coming of Christ like a lot of fans wanted him to be when they traded for him a few years ago. In fact, if we're being honest, he's kind of hindered this offense more than not, right? When the Packers first played the 49ers this season, Jimmy had 2 or 3 dropped interceptions on top of just a really poor game. When the 49ers are at their best, Jimmy only has 20 pass attempts, right? And 8 of those are going towards their all-pro tight end, George Kittle. He's their number one pass catcher outside of Deebo. And honestly, he's a nightmare matchup. He's too fast for linebackers, too big for safeties. If you look at George Kittle's catches and where they happen on the field, he's caught 47 of 60 passes in the middle of the field from 0 to 20 yards. 47 of his 71 catches this season have come in the middle of the field. And that's what the 49ers like to do. Get Ayuk and Deebo the ball on the outside and let them use their athleticism to make a play. Get Kittle the ball in the middle of the field to keep defenses honest. Make defenses think and slow them down by being gap responsible and having a threat of the run and play action. If the 49ers run play action and you're a defender who guesses wrong, you're in trouble. You are. If the 49ers run the ball and you're a defender who plays the pass the whole time, you're also in trouble. That's how they stress you. The first 1 to 2 seconds of a play where the run is still a threat are the most important when you're playing the 49ers, and the Packers have to be ready for it. So how do the Packers combat this offense and make things tough on them? There's a few things that they really need to do. They need to have sound awareness. Gap responsibility needs to be extremely solid. They can't be trying to get overzealous. They can't be getting too eager. They can't be doing things like that. They need to get their gaps and then move from there. They need to stay on receivers. They have the personnel to play man-to-man. It shouldn't be too complicated for them. Jair is going to play. Stokes has played well. Rasul Douglas has played well. They have the personnel to play man. They need to react to cues. Film study is really, really big for this game. Because if there's the slightest cue that shows run, the slightest cue that shows pass, that's the stuff that really matters when you're playing the 49ers. If you're continuously guessing yourself, you're going to be in trouble. They need to be physical. In 2019, we saw the 49ers out-physical the Packers. They just kind of beat them up and ran all over them. That can't happen this game. The Packers need to be ready for that, ready to be pushed around a little bit, ready to push back. They have to set a physical tone for their defense. And they have to force Jimmy G to beat them by making tough throws. Not easy ones, not 3-yard screen passes, not a wide open 10-yard post. Tough throws. The one single thing I think the Packers have to do, and it sounds really simple, and that's because it is, they shouldn't overcomplicate this game. And that's they should man up across the board and load the box. And that doesn't necessarily mean with big bodies, they can keep their kind of DB heavy scheme, but load the box. Let Jair, let Stokes, let Douglas man up with their receivers. And if you get beat, you get beat by forcing Jimmy G to beat you. You don't lose by letting the 49ers do what they want to do, which is run the ball. You force their weakest link, Jimmy G, to be their best player. And if you lose that way, then you lose that way, and that's a bad beat. That's just what it is.
So that's what the Packers can do on defense to kind of slow down this 49ers offense, which is not, again, is not the running juggernaut that they were in 2019. Are they still a good running team? Absolutely. But are they that team for 2019? No. So what can the Packers do on offense? Well, on position group, one position group of the 49ers that hasn't been great and has kind of been kept in the shadows because of their great front seven is their secondary. As of now on PFF, they have the 64th out of 94th ranked safety starting, the 109th out of 121 corner starting, and then the 9th rated safety and the 27th rated ranked corner. And their nickel brings in the 54th ranked corner out of 121. Not exactly incredible individual performances, and they can't be exploited. With the possibility that Bosa might be out, that's huge for this Packers offensive line that has just gotten healthy. The 49ers on offense start everything with their run game, and on defense, it starts with their pass rush, with their front seven. When you think about throwing the ball against the 49ers, you think, man, that ball's got to come out early, otherwise you're in trouble. And that's how this defense really affects you. They force you to rush the play, to accelerate things, and that's when you make mistakes. We always had a saying when I was in Ranger Battalion about how to be fast, and it was really simple, and it's just basically two lines. It's slow is smooth, and smooth is fast. Well, that's what this Packers offense has to be, just smooth. If they're smooth, the 49ers can't force them to speed anything up. If they're smooth, they'll be fast. If they're smooth, they're going to win this game. The other thing that this 49ers defense doesn't do well is they gave up a ton of completions, nearly 70% at 67, good for fifth worst in the league. That's another thing the Packers can absolutely take advantage of with playmakers like Randall Cobb, Devontae Adams, Aaron Jones. They can all make guys miss. Expect the Packers to hit quite a bit of understuff and just get guys into space. Make one man miss, and a 6-yard gain turns into a 12-yard gain. Force the 49ers defense to tackle perfectly. And that's something that the Packers did when they played in the regular season and had a ton of success with it. The 49ers typically like to play off. They don't like to play press. They'll play off, and they think, we're going to be able to tackle you well enough for it not to hurt us. And that's played out pretty well for the regular season and the first game of the playoffs. But the Packers have playmakers who can make people miss. If we look at the first game where they played, Devontae Adams had 12 catches for 130 yards and some change. It was like 132 or 133. But he only had a long of 25 yards. You can see they hit all of the understuff and forced the 49ers to tackle. And for the most part, you look at that stat number and you're like, well, I guess they did tackle him pretty well. But even if you remove that one catch for 25 yards, Devontae Adams still had a 9.7 yards per catch. Basically averaged a first down every single catch. That's insane. You're going to have a ton of first downs averaging 9.7 yards per catch. The other thing the Packers did really well in that game was they kept the 49ers honest with a solid run game. Jones and Dillon combined for exactly 100 yards and 25 carries, and I'd expect something similar in this game. Only I'd expect Dillon to have a lot more carries, but more carries than Jones. And for Jones to do a lot in the pass game and the run game. In the pass game and the screen game. It wouldn't surprise me if Jones catches a screen something like every quarter. If Jones' box score at the end of the day looks something like 6 carries for 30 yards and 7 catches for 60 yards. And I wouldn't be surprised if A.J. Dillon's looks like 18 carries for 65 yards and 1 catch for 10. Something along those lines. That's kind of how I expect them to use these two backs because those are their strengths. That's what they do. Aaron Jones needs the ball in space to make people miss, make some big plays. And A.J. Dillon is just going to run through the tackles and wear defenses out. So that's really what this Packers offense can do. Block, take advantage of a weak secondary, hit the understuff and force the 49ers to tackle well all game, and keep them honest with 4 yards a carry when you run the ball. That's pretty much it. That's all they have to do. It's really not an overcomplicated offensive scheme. But you have to do your job. You have to execute. And they should be in a good spot. So now that we've kind of gotten through some of the offenses and then defenses, we can start talking about some stats. And I wanted to look at offense and defense before we do the position breakdown. So for this, I wanted to look at five stats into each, whichever team has the better numbers, has the better offense or defense. So for offense, we're going to look at points per game, yards per rush, yards per pass, third down conversion, and red zone conversion. And for defense, we'll look at the exact same stats. I chose these because I thought it would be the best indicator of whose offense and whose defense is actually different, is actually better. You know, five separate indicators, you know, points, run game, pass game, third down, red zone, big aspects. So let's talk about the 49ers first for offense. 49ers average 25 points per game. Not bad. They average 4.3 yards per rush. Not bad. They average 8.2 yards per pass. Their third down conversion is 40%, and their red zone conversion is 67%. 25 points per game, 4.3 yards per rush, 8.2 yards per pass, 40% on third down, 67% on red zone. For the Packers, they average 26.5 points per game, better than the 49ers. They average 4.3 yards per rush, the exact same as the 49ers. They average 7.3 yards per pass, about a yard, but 0.9 less than the 49ers. On third down, they're at 43.5%, better than the 49ers. And in the red zone, they're at 58.57, less than the 49ers. So when we take out yards per rush, because those are tied, 4.3 each way, really, it's the same. Packers average more points, and they're better on third down. The 49ers average more yards per pass, and they're better in the red zone. So what else could we bring in there to get rid of this tiebreaker? Well, I kind of thought about this, and the thing that I wanted to bring in was sack percentage. You know, what percentage of pass plays end in a sack? I thought that that would be a good indicator to get something else in there that really shows what this offense, you know, like we have points, we have yards per rush, yards per pass, third down, red zone, and sack percentage. Like those six categories are going to tell you what you need to know about an offense. And for the 49ers, their sack percentage is 5.77%. 5.77% of pass plays end in a sack. And for the Packers, it's 5.27%. A slight edge to the Packers. So we'll go ahead and say the Packers are the better offense. It's close, right? Like, I didn't expect the 49ers to average 8.2 yards per pass. It's better than I expected. But keep in mind, they don't throw the ball a ton. So while the Packers like to use a lot of these short passes, intermediate stuff as an extension of the running game, the 49ers, not so much. So Packers get the edge on offense. On defense, 49ers give up 21.2 points per game. They give up 4 yards per rush. They give up 6.3 yards per pass. Their third down conversion is 39%. Red zone is 57%. So 21 points per game, 4 yards per rush, 6.3 yards per pass, 39% on third down, 57% in the red zone. Packers give up 21.8 points per game, so 0.6 more than the 49ers. Yards per rush, 4.7, 0.7 more than the 49ers. Yards per pass, 6.2, 0.1 less than the 49ers. On third down, they give it up 42% of the time, which is worse than the 49ers. And then the red zone is 66% of the time. As you can see, the 49ers have the better defense in just about every category except for the pass per yard, or the yards per pass by 0.1. It should be said that, you know, the Packers have a far better INT rate at 3% of the pass plays being intercepted compared to the 49ers, 1.7% of the pass plays. So nearly double the interception rate. But if we're just looking at straight statistical numbers and not takeaways, this 49ers defense is better than the Packers. Is it substantially better? Not really. They're substantially better in the red zone, you know, at 9%, but they're not substantially better. So that is what it is. The Packers offense is statistically better, and the 49ers defense is statistically better. And that's kind of where we're at. Like, that's kind of what everyone thought going into this, as that was going to be the matchup to keep an eye on, the matchup to watch. So to help us figure out who wins this game, let's get into the position battles. Quarterback. You got to go Packers. Advantage Packers by a mile and a half. Aaron Rodgers possibly just locked up another MVP. He's a stud. Jimmy G has injuries that he's dealing with. He's been a roller coaster, to say the least, this season. Advantage Packers. Running back. Advantage Packers. I like what the 49ers have in Eli Mitchell and Trey Sermon. They don't use Trey Sermon a lot. And you could probably throw Debo into the category of a running back, considering he lines up in the backfield regularly. But I kept him in the wide receiver group. But what the Packers have in running back, in their running back room, is really just unheard of. It is. Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon, perfect complement to each other. and both really, really high-end running backs. You know, this isn't like two very average guys who complement each other. This is two high-end running backs who also complement each other. So advantage Packers on quarterback, advantage Packers on running back. Wide receiver. I'm going 49ers. 49ers kind of by a lot. The Packers have the best receiver in this game in Davante Adams, but they don't have anyone close to George Kittle or Brandon Ayuk. They don't. You know, you could possibly say Debo and Adams are a wash. I think Adams is the better pure receiver, but Debo does more in the backfield. So you could call them a wash. Get them out of here. And then you're kind of looking at, you know, Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb with Brandon Ayuk and George Kittle. And George Kittle is an all-pro tight end. So advantage, 49ers. O-line. I was really tempted here to go with the 49ers because they grade higher on PFF. But when you think of this offensive line for the Packers being healthy, finally, averaging the same amount of yards per rush as the 49ers, and having a lower sack percentage, this Packers O-line has played better as a whole, even if their individual numbers aren't as high. So I'm going advantage Packers. D-line. This is an easy one, 49ers. Even with Bosa possibly being out with his concussion, this is a really good unit. Losing Bosa is big, and it loses a lot for these 49ers, especially in their pass rush. You know, but the Packers D-line is not the strength of their defense like it is for the 49ers. This 49ers defense runs through their defensive line in the front seven. Linebacker. I'm going to go Packers. The 49ers have some really athletic linebackers, and that's not a knock on them taking the Packers. They can do a lot. They're a really solid group. They're extremely dynamic. But what this Packers unit has done, Devondre Campbell is a first-team all-pro. Gary, who has one of the highest pass rush win rates in the NFL and should have been a pro bowler. Preston Smith, who's had a fantastic season and possibly getting back all-pro in Za'Darius Smith and Whitney Mercilus. You got to go Packers there. Secondary. Packers. Even if Jair doesn't play, and I fully expect him to play, this is still a slight advantage Packers. But with Jair back and being Jair, it's a huge advantage Packers. You have three corners, three, that you feel really good about in man-to-man. Jair, Eric Stokes, Rasul Douglas. And two safeties that you feel good about. This might be the best secondary left in the playoffs, legitimately. With Jair coming back from injury, it really might be just the best secondary left in the playoffs. And head coach. For me, this one's a wash too. Both really solid head coaches. Both have had a lot of success. Both, I think they're 2-2 against each other. You know, I think this one's a wash. So based on that, the Packers have the advantage at quarterback, running back, offensive line, linebackers, and secondary, and the 49ers have the advantage at receiver and D-line. Basic math there tells us that the Packers are the more talented team, and I think that shows through this week. I do. I'm going Packers 31, 49ers 20. 31-20 final score. I don't think it's all that close, to be honest. This is a good Packers team. Really, really good Packers team. And this is a good 49ers team, but they're just not on the Packers level. They're not. Real quick about these injured guys coming back before we get out of here and let you go on with your day. Don't expect them to be necessarily what they were when they went out with an injury. Expect them to be good and hold them to a standard, but you might only get 80% of Jair. You might only get 80% of Za'Darius Smith. 80% of those guys is still damn good. But be realistic about these expectations. Are they in shape? Yeah, probably. But have they played game speed in a while? No. So there might be some miscues. There might be some instances where you're like, what happened there? But just roll with it. 80% of Jair is still better than 85-90% of the corners in the league. 80% of Za'Darius Smith is still better than 80% of the edge rushers in the league. But just be realistic about these expectations. So again, I'm going Packers 31-20 over the 49ers in the second round of the playoffs to move on to the NFC Championship. This was Beer, Deer, and Cheese. I was your host, Sam Davil. You can find me on Twitter, Sam_Davil. You can find awesome, great content on all Wisconsin sports on Wisconsin Sports Heroics. Other than that, please subscribe, tell your friends about it, and take care. Go Pack, go.